I'd like to welcome you back to the special edition of the TOT cast. We're doing a World Juniors preview. My name is David Morisuti, and as usual, I have Jake Middleton join me here as Chris Okranis continues to take a break from hockey podcasts. So, Jake, excited for the tournament this year?
I am very excited.
All right, so this tournament's been around for a long time, but I think it hasn't really been a big staple tradition in Canada maybe the last 20 years, I would say. 20 years.
It has been?
Well, it has been for the last 20 years. I think it's been a big staple, but I think recently it's become a really popular thing in Canada with the way the TSN broadcasts and the hype it gets around it. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's probably one of the most enjoyable things I get to watch during the entire hockey season, to be honest. I love watching it. I mean, I think it's just unique because you get to see the future stars of tomorrow, and it's great looking back and seeing all the good talent that's come out of this tournament.
When did you first start watching the tournament?
I've watched it for a while, probably about 2008 or so, right around the John Tavares time.
I was about to say that. See, like, my first time watching was 2007 when Jonathan Toews absolutely went bonkers against the U.S. in the shootout, and Carey Price stood on his head. So that was like the first time I watched it. The year after, I didn't really watch it. There wasn't really much that Canada offered, even though they won. But yeah, again, I got rejuvenated when John Tavares. I mean, I watched John Tavares a lot in juniors, and have him on the big stage with Canada was pretty good. I think that Ottawa, that year in Ottawa, which was the 2009 World Juniors, probably one of the best World Juniors I've ever seen. You and I were talking about it beforehand about that game where John Tavares absolutely walked all over the U.S., scoring a hat trick, winning 7-4. That was probably one of the best Team Canada games I've ever watched. Even the gold medal games are always special. The Vancouver Olympics was special, but that game was just so much fun. I don't know if you had a favorite game from the World Juniors, Jake, that stood out to you.
Probably the Eberle goal. I was big. That was a huge goal.
We're talking about the one against Russia in that same year.
When he tied it with 5 seconds left or something like that.
It was like, three or four seconds. I remember just running around my house. That was absolutely nuts. And for the fact that he did it 2 years in a row, because he also did it when we were playing against the U.S., we were down by 2 goals, and he scores both goals to tie. We end up losing in overtime, but...
Yeah, that was the final.
I think that brought... Yeah, that was the Jordan Eberle show. Everyone was always wondering if he could just come back to play the last 5 minutes of any game for Canada, because that kid had something special. So looking into this year, so Canada, we're hosting it. Well, obviously Toronto, Montreal are the joint hosts this year, but Team Canada hasn't really done well in this tournament the last few years. Obviously they won gold 2 years ago, and then last year they had a poor showing in Finland. But before we get to Team Canada, we're going to talk about how this tournament could be an intriguing one for the Toronto Maple Leafs, for fans that may want a little bit of a break from the big club and looking at some players. I think last year had a little more intrigue just because the Leafs had more higher-end prospects like Mitch Marner, William Nylander, Dmytro Trimashov was there. But this year, there's still some pretty decent prospects going to the tournament, so let's look at those. Obviously, for the U.S., we got Jeremy Bracco and Joseph Woll. So, Jake, maybe if you want to talk about your little love interest there for Jeremy Bracco, New Jersey native, been lighting it up for Kitchener in the OHL.
Long Island native, not New Jersey.
Long Island native, sorry. I always think you guys are always in the same boat there over in the States, in the state of New York, New Jersey. So what have you...
Tri-state area.
Again, being corrected by the U.S. guy. I should just let you take it. So what have you seen, what have you liked from Jeremy Bracco's game this year? What do you think he's going to bring to the tournament?
First of all, I mean, I was pretty shocked that he didn't make the team last year. I mean, as you know, Craig Button said last year, you know, he was pretty stunned with some of the picks that Team USA management made, not to pick guys like Kyle Connor and Jeremy Bracco and among others. But, I mean, he put that past him clearly. I mean, you know, he was drafted 61st last year by the Leafs. Well, 2015 now. And, I mean, he was a steal. The guy is really small. I think he's about 5'9", 5'10". But he obviously was at Boston College. He left there to go to the Kitchener Rangers. And, and he had a really good season last year, leading Kitchener to a second round loss to the eventual Memorial Cup champion London Knights. But this year he's just been insane. I mean, he started the season with a 26 game point streak, where he was not held without a point for the entire season. Although that was ended the game after, he has 51 points, 17 goals, and 34 assists in his first 27 games. He's putting up Mitch Marner-like numbers for the Kitchener Rangers. I mean, yeah, I know he's not the kid who's from Don Mills, or he's not putting up 5 points a game, but he's consistently putting up 2 points a game, which is incredible. I mean, I think I read a stat that he's responsible in accounting for 42% of his team's goals with regards to goals and assists, which is insane.
Just to put in perspective, the season before, he had 64 points in 49 games. So he's well on his way to smashing his old what he did last year too.
Oh yeah, easily. I mean, it's just crazy to see how far he's come since he was drafted. And he also looks a lot bulkier. He looks a lot more sturdy than he was when he was drafted. He looks like he's probably at about 15 pounds.
Yeah, he's at about 180 pounds right now.
That's a big difference from the 155 he was. So, but for me, he's the Leafs' number one prospect right now. I mean, I know I had him. I think I had him like seventh last year at the end of last year. And obviously there's some graduations with Austin Matthews and Nylander and Marner. But, you know, this guy has just been so prolific in the OHL this season that it's pretty hard to notice that he's not the number one prospect for the Leafs. And I really think that he's going to be a top six winger for the Leafs in a couple years' time.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard not to be impressed with what Bracco brings to the team. It's kind of surprising they did leave him off the team along with Kyle Connor, considering he had Austin Matthews on the team last year. Like, that team could have been a juggernaut in Finland, although that Finnish team was really good last year. So moving on to his Team USA teammate Joseph Woll, who plays out in the NCAA. What have you? When I look at Joseph Woll, I think of a long-term project guy. He's going to spend probably maybe this year in the NCAA. He could, depending on how long he commits there, and then possibly move up to the HL. Do you see this guy as potentially the future and goal for the Leafs, with Anderson only here 5 years possibly? What do you see here when you see a guy like Joseph Woll?
I don't know. I mean, I've obviously gotten an opportunity to watch him a little bit. I mean, he plays for a really big program in the U.S. at Boston College. And, I mean, I have him ranked as the Leafs' number 8 prospect and obviously the number 1 prospect for the goaltender position. And, I mean, he's had a pretty good start of it. He's gotten, you know, 17 of the 20 starts for a really good Boston College team that I don't know if they'll win the national title. That seems like BU is probably going to be running away with that, but he looks pretty good. I mean, he's got decent stats. He's got 10 wins, a 251 goals against, a 917 save percentage, and a shutout. So that's pretty impressive for a freshman, and he's especially for a freshman that's taking over for Thatcher Demko, who is probably the best goaltender prospect in the league right now.
Yeah, I mean, one thing it was when he was drafted in the third round, That kind of got me my eyebrows raised and saying, okay, he's drafted in the third round by Lou Lamoriello, and we know what Lamoriello's background is with goalies, especially goalies who have size. And I think that he kind of follows the footprint of what the Leafs want, are goalies with a bit of size that can they're also athletic. Like, one thing scouts say about he's a very athletic guy. He's also very sound positioning, so He's a guy that I'm gonna really watch for, especially for the U.S., who have a really crowded crease with Tyler Parsons and Ottinger. I think if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. So he's gonna be in tough to get some starts with Team USA. But I think it'll be interesting to see how he plays. We're gonna now move on to the other side of the pond, where we got Carl Grundström from Sweden, who's really broken out this year for many reasons, especially with his goal-scoring ability. What have you liked from his game? What do you think he could do for Team Sweden this year?
I mean, he's just the ultimate pest. He's the guy that you don't want to play against, but you love having on your team. Obviously, his shooting numbers in the Swedish Elite League are staggering. I think he's scoring at like a 20% clip for his shots or something like that, which is obviously bound to fall off. But hey, I mean, you run with it if you can. But you know, for me, he's going to be that guy that just matches up with the top lines of other teams and shuts them down. He'll piss them off too. I mean, that's basically what he does. You know, he goes around. He's a professional pest. He's a guy who's going to pull off the Nazem Kadri, the Brad Marchand, and he's also going to be a big time penalty killer for them. I think he's a really big piece, and I think he's the assistant captain, so it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean there was a lot of Leafs prospects that were some people were saying were picked maybe have picked earlier than some may have projected or some scouts may have projected, but they've seemed to have worked out pretty well for the team. One guy that kind of caught my eye when I watched him back at the rookie tournament was Nikita Korostalev, and he's certainly carried that over this season with in the OHL, and he's playing for Team Russia at the tournament. We people were kind of iffy to give Nikita Korostalev some sort of maybe like high level prospect praise, but this guy has been working hard. He's absolutely made a bit of a jump in the prospect rankings, possibly for the Leafs. Do you think he's a guy that could work his way up, or do you think there's still some work to be done on his game?
I mean, yeah, Korostalev is, you know, he's kind of like an enigma. You know, he's a guy that is kind of on and off with his like ability to go out and play and his work ethic. But I mean, the guy is obviously incredibly talented. I mean, for the Leafs, they're just on a free roll right now. I mean, he's the last player taken by them in 2015. And I mean, he didn't have a great season last year. I'm pretty sure he actually had a decline in points,
Yes, he did. With
which
Sarnia.
is not good.
Yeah, he had 42 points in 53 games with Sarnia, and the year before that, he had 53 in 55 games. So there was a decline there.
Yeah, right. And I mean, this season he's just, you know, shown that he can be a big time scorer and a big time player. I mean, he's got 34 points in 29 games, so he's well on his way to doubling that, doubling his, hopefully doubling his point total from last year. And I mean, you just look at the guy, he's insanely skilled. You look at some of the goals that he scored in the OHL. He scored big overtime winners, and he's done a lot for that team. And I mean, for me, he reminds me a lot of a player like a Connor Brown or a Nikolaj Kuhlman, if I'm going to follow the Leafs thing. Guys who are really highly skilled, and they can play a complete game. They can play offensively and defensively. I mean, he's a part of Team Russia for a reason. They tend to not pick guys that can't play a two-way game. So, I mean, there's a reason he's on this team, and I think everybody knows why. It's because of his ability to play both ways. And I mean, if he continues his strong run of form that he has in the OHL, I have no reason to believe why he can't put up a couple points for Russia, who are definitely gold medal contenders.
All right, so out of the five, who is your the most you're looking forward to watch the most? Who's the guy that's gonna possibly have the best tournament out of the five?
I think it's going to be Jeremy Bracco because he's probably going to be thrust in the position to go out and show what he's worth, and he's a guy that we've been watching out for a while, and not many people are able to watch him outside of Kitchener Rangers games. I think he's going to have a big impact for the Team USA, and I actually think he'll be the top scorer for the team.
Okay, and you know what? When the news came out this morning that Alex DeBrincat was going to be cut, I think that also get upped his chances to being that team leader in goal. Well, not even goals, just in points. I think his vision, he's got a great vision with the puck, and he can set up guys. And I think that'll work out well for him at this tournament. And the fact that it's here in Canada,
Toronto,
it's
yeah.
in Toronto, he's going to want to impress the scout, it's impress management who are going to be watching. And the fact that there's no change in rink size, I think that'll also benefit him too. There's no adjustment be having to be made there. So now the tournament's not only great for fans to kind of see their team's prospects if you're looking at it from an NHL view, but also for those that want to see draft eligible players, because there's always those guys that are they're looking to up their draft stock. And this year we're actually not going to have the top two draft ranked prospects in the actual tournament, which is very surprising. But I mean, Timothy Liljegren and Nolan Patrick are not going to be participating in the tournament this year. Patrick's been dealing with injuries. Liljegren has had his injuries, but Sweden has decided to leave him home. Do you find that kind of surprising that this year somebody could possibly, out of all the draft eligible players, could maybe up his stock to a point where he could unseat Nolan Patrick or Liljegren? Or do you think it's this tournament won't really do that for these guys?
I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, you look at the past drafts and you look at the guys that have kind of risen from anonymity and become big-time players. I mean, guys like Patrick Laine, Jonathan Drouin, I mean, Nito Niederreiter. You know, these are guys that you don't really know who they are before the season starts, but they do stuff during the season that really puts them in the spotlight, and they obviously use the World Junior stage to their advantage. And, I mean, you know, obviously with Patrick Laine, people were like, oh, how good is he? You know, nobody had seen him play. And then you watch him in the World Juniors and you're like, wow, this kid is legitimately the best Finnish player we've seen since Teemu Selänne. I mean, I myself was the one that was hyping Puljujärvi over him. And, you know, clearly if we could go back, we probably wouldn't make that mistake again. But, I mean, he's been impressive.
Yeah, and this year there's I would say there's a superstar player to be watching out for when it looks at the draft eligible guys, although you may have some guys that are going to raise some eyebrows or maybe have an impact at this tournament. Who are the guys you're looking at when you're looking at the draft eligible prospects at this tournament?
I think based on like rankings, overall prospect rankings, the first one has got to be I'm putting it based on guys who I think are going to stand out based on opportunity, where they're going to be placed in the lineup and how much they can, you know, show out and show their skills. I mean, the first one's got to be Nico Hischier. He's the winger for the Halifax Mooseheads, a program that apparently can just breed top eligible draft picks. I mean, look at the players they've pumped out in the past couple of years. It's been insane. But, you know, some of the guys like Nathan MacKinnon, Jonathan Drouin, Nikolai Ehlers, what's the Swedish kid that, or the Swiss kid that's for San Jose? His name eludes me, but he was a top 10 draft pick. They've had four top 10 draft picks in the last 3 years. I mean, their ability to develop players is really impressive for me. But, I mean, Nico Hischier, they got him in the import draft. He had a pretty good season last year. I think he had, you know, 48 points for the Mooseheads. Guy coming from Switzerland and coming to the United States or North America and developing that early was impressive. I mean, you know, he's not big. He reminds me of a Jonathan Drouin. He's about 6 foot, 175 pounds, but you know, he's an exceptional skater. He's really good with it. He's got really good hands and a deceptive shot. He's a guy that is really, really going to be watched out for to possibly even be a top three pick in this year's draft. I wouldn't be shocked if he was a top three pick.
Yeah, I mean, with 48 points in 31 games, 23 goals, he's certainly playing really well. And I mean, the Q is always a high scoring league. It's gonna guys are always gonna put up points there. But I mean, he as you say, he's 6 foot, 174 pounds. He looks like he could be he could look like he have a good impact on the tournament. So we're looking also. You have a guy. Well, you have a couple of guys here, but you have a guy also from Finland that could have a pretty good tournament for himself. I'll let you take it away with the Finnish guy.
Yeah, another guy that I'm really high on is Eli Tolvanen. He's playing in the USHL right now. Obviously, he plays for the Sioux City Musketeers. He's committed to Boston College for next year, which is something that I don't think I've ever seen. A European who's played in the USHL and is committed to go to a U.S. college. The last guy I can think of that was a high pick is Zemgus Girgensons, because he played on a buddy of mine's team in the USHL. It's the only reason I would have heard of him. But, yeah, I mean, there's no Patrick Laine, there's no Austin Matthews in this draft, but if you're looking for a really big time scorer, it's Eli Tolvanen. He's a player that reminds me a little bit like a William Nylander, a guy who's got exceptional skating ability, really good with the puck, has a great shot too. And I mean, you know, some people are calling him the next one of the next great Finns to come out. You know, he's not big like Laine is or Puljujärvi. I think he's about 6 foot tall and maybe 180 pounds. But this kid's a dynamic goal scorer, and he's going to score a lot of goals in the NHL. I don't think he'll be ready next year, so I think his commitment to Boston College is pretty strong, which will be a great place for him to develop. Obviously, the talent that they've pumped out is impressive, but I think with his shot, which in my opinion is the best shot in the entire draft, I think he's going to go top five, and I wouldn't be shocked if he puts up a lot of points this tournament too.
Yeah, it's really surprising to see a Finnish guy in the USHL. He has 16 goals in 23 games, 27 points for the Musketeers, which is an awesome name for a hockey team. But the Finnish guys always seem to do well at the tournament. So we'll see how that works out for him. You have one more, a goalie who is going to challenge Joseph Woll for the Team USA to Team USA net. I'll let you take it away with him.
Yeah, another U.S. college kid, Jake Ottinger, who for me is the best goaltending prospect in this draft. I mean, he's an American kid. He plays for the BU Terriers in the NCAA Hockey East, and he's been an absolute stud this year for BU. I mean, his goals against is in the ones, about a .928 save percentage. And I mean, that's a national championship quality team at BU. So I wouldn't be shocked if he's playing on a national spotlight down the road. But this is a really big kid, really athletic for his size. And I think he's a future NHL number one. And for Leafs fans, I mean, we don't really have we've never developed a number one goalie since Tuukka Rask. And unfortunately, they traded away the wrong guy and kept Justin Poggi. But I mean, if you want to go out and develop a guy who can come in down the road, probably be with the Leafs in maybe 2 or 3 years, you know, this is the kid. He's big, he's athletic, he's everything you're looking for in the new age NHL, and he'd definitely be high on my draft list for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this year with Boston University, 15 games, he has an 8.52 record with a 1.87 goals against and a .932 save percentage, which is absolutely ridiculous.
For a freshman, too. He's 17.
So it looks like Joseph Woll is going to have some competition in the USA net. Another big goalie, 6'4", 205 pounds, which is absolutely bonkers. And, you know, he's played well also with Team USA at the junior level. In the under-18s, he won a gold medal, and he's won a bronze medal. So I think that's going to be the USA's strength, is going to be in net and possibly up front. Their defense is probably something that's going to be tough for them. I mean, they Tyler Parsons started in the pre-tournament game against Switzerland, and he allowed 3 goals on 24 shots, which is, it's not really good to see from a guy who's supposed to be a high caliber goalie in the CHL. So I would expect to see the two NCAA guys to battle it out, and it'd be nice to see the NCAA finally get some proper recognition at this type of tournament. So now we got to go out to the host country, because obviously when you're talking about the World Juniors, especially here in Canada, you can't leave out the host country, Team Canada. After winning gold 2 years ago back here in Toronto, they've really struggled. They struggled last year in Finland, not even making it to the medal round, which was really shocking, losing to Finland, who would end up going on to win the tournament. This year's Team Canada team may not have the same firepower as it's had in the past. Doesn't really have, as you were saying, Jake, a superstar player that, you know, that Connor McDavid type of guy or John Tavares that will carry a team. So I think if you're looking at this team, I mean, you got guys like Matthew Barzal, you got Pierre-Luc Dubois, Julien Gauthier, you got Tyson Yost. Let's see if I'm leaving out anybody here. You have Dylan Strom, who's finally allowed to, well, once Arizona let him back to the OHL with became eligible for the tournament. Then you got on the back end, you guys like Thomas Chabot, Jake B, Dante Fabro, Philip Myers, who I'm going to get to in a second here. Then in goal, you have Carter Hart, Connor Ingram. This Team Canada team, as we were saying, doesn't scream out as juggernaut, but do you think they're at least good enough to compete this year in this tournament?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, Canada always competes. You know, they always go out there and, you know, whether they put together an underwhelming team or a star-laden team, they're always going to go on as the favorites because, I mean, that's just who we are as a hockey nation. I mean, you know, Canada's always got a target on their back and, you know, it's never a bad place to be. I mean, the kids obviously, you know, love playing on home ice considering how well we play on home ice. I think I don't know if they'll win this tournament, but I think they'll be really good and I think they will medal. So, you know, again, I'm not too confident in this team. There's just it doesn't, you know, superstar names are not out there. I mean, that generally when Canada wins or is dominant, yeah, they're good in the back end with they got great goaltending, but they usually have that superstar player that Connor McDavid, that John Tavares, you know, all those guys. But this year they don't have it. I don't know. It's just something that I've noticed, and I think it will hold them back from winning gold. Although we do play really well at home, so I can never put that past them. But I don't know. What are you thinking about this?
I kind of in the same boat as they don't have that superstar talent. I just remember there was the one year with the lockout that they sent a bunch of guys who were NHL caliber players, and you had guys like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, you had Jonathan Drouin, you had, I'm trying to remember who else exactly went to that tournament, Anthony Mantha. Like, you had these big touted prospects, and they absolutely laid an egg. I think that was the year they went to Russia. I always have a tough time seeing Canada being the best team in the tournament without having the best player in the tournament, or even just the best top-rated player in the world, prospect in the world at the time. So this is where I kind of have to say it's going to have to come down to their depth. It's going to have to come down to being more disciplined. I think this has been Canada's problem the last couple of tournaments is staying out of the box. It really cost them against Finland. I mean, you would think you learned twice of giving Patrick Laine any chances to rip you apart on the power play, and they did that last year. And this year's team, they've realized the first couple games in the pre-tournament games that discipline is going to be something they're going to have to watch out for. They're going to have to really watch the bad penalties they take. So if they can stay disciplined and if they can play to their strength, which I think is their depth, I think they'll have a chance. But, I mean, you also have teams that are just getting better in this tournament. I think back when Canada was having that streak of gold medals, they just weren't challenged enough. And I think other teams have finally stepped up to the plate. You know, you got Sweden, Russia, and the U.S. who have really stepped up.
Switzerland,
and
they've gotten better
too. Switzerland's getting better too, which is good to see. I think we're going to get to teams to watch out for and surprise teams, and they could be one of them. I think Canada just has to. They can't take it for granted the fact that they're hosting and that they're no longer considered the juggernaut of the World Juniors anymore.
I mean, they've won what, one medal in the past 5 years, and it was gold, but
it was gold. But they also had, I think, probably one of their best teams in recent memory. When you got a guy like
that team was stacked, Connor McDavid. I mean, Domi, Duclair, yeah. Nurse. I feel like every one of those guys is an NHL player.
Dude, man, Freddie the Goat was
yeah,
a big
Freddie
part
the Goat
of
was on that team. Too.
He was a big part of that team too.
He was
shut down center. When I was doing research for this, because obviously you can't do a World Juniors when you have so many players and so many teams to watch out for. You really have to watch. I was looking, and Sportsnet had this really good article on this guy, Philip Myers, who
Philip Myers,
who was not even drafted. Let me just give you a little background on this guy. So this guy goes through the draft, doesn't get drafted. The Philadelphia Flyers decide to sign him as an undrafted player. 6'5", 210-pound right-handed shot defenseman. This boy, how many teams need a right-handed shot defenseman?
Every single one.
And you're telling me you can't use a 6 or 7 round pick on a guy like him, who had 45 points in 63 games in the queue, okay, as a defenseman. Now he has 18 and 19 games in the queue. I think this guy will make a lot of NHL teams like the Leafs, who I think could absolutely use a right-handed shot defenseman like him. I think he could be an X factor on this blue line. I mean, when you look at Canada, we were talking about having that shutdown defenseman. If he can do that for Canada with his size and his ability to put up points, I think he could be a guy to watch out for, and this is something that Sportsnet had put out. I think you really have, and he's probably going to be one of those guys that nobody's really heard of going into turn, then obviously we're going to be talking about him here, and we can say, well, we talked about this guy. I think a guy like him, these are the stories I love. I love these types of stories where you get guys who may not have been taking, maybe not either taken later than they should have or not even taken at all and come and have a great tournament. I think this is a guy you're going to have to watch for when you're watching Team Canada.
That's the best part of the World Juniors for me, is just seeing all the guys that slip through the cracks. I mean, you know, it's not about the guys that were all first-round picks. It's not the draft. I mean, you pick the best team possible. I mean, you're not trying to pick an all-star team here. You're just trying to put together a team. And, you know, obviously Canada's gone away from that a little bit in the past couple of years, and it's kind of good to see. But, you know, hopefully it can put together some better results.
It's also, this is a tournament for players that, you know, honestly, not all these players are going to make the NHL. Not all these players are going to go on to have pro careers in hockey, or they may just go out and end up playing in Europe or something. So this is really a tournament for them to really enjoy and have that spotlight that they may not have going forward. A guy that I think of is Cody Hodgson. I remember he was the captain of that 2009 team. Everyone in Vancouver was really excited for them, and then the injuries came up, and he was just never the same player. So I think if you're a young guy going into this tournament, if you're a fan going into this tournament, just really appreciate what these young guys are going to do for the country that they're playing for, what's on the line for them, and what could end up being either a good story for them or just a one-off for them. Another player also to look out for is the leading scorer in the OHL. How the heck does the Tampa Bay Lightning always get so lucky with these bloody
Taylor players? Radish?
Taylor Radish, 6'2", 207-pound power forward, okay, right winger. He plays for the Erie Otters. Okay, yep. So he's going to be reunited. That's factory. He is going to be reunited with Dylan Strome likely at the tournament on that line. I think he could, I don't say he's going to be the best player for Team Canada, but he could be a guy that's going to, he's going to make other teams pay with his size and his ability to go to the net hard and get some good opportunities. He could change a game if he can. Now, obviously, Canada wants guys to be disciplined, play two-way games, but they're also going to need a guy like him that's going to be able to dominate offensively with their size and make it hard for other teams. So I think he's another guy. If you're looking at the Team Canada roster, obviously you're looking at guys like Barzal and Yost, who I think might lead the team. If I'm looking at a team leader in points, I think Tyson Yost will be one of those guys. But I think you're going to have to really watch a guy like him. And Tampa Bay Lightning fans should be really happy with how their picks have really worked out for them.
It's getting ridiculous how they just find these guys every single year.
Not just find them, but okay, you're going to have a team.
They all work out, too.
They all work out. Like Tyler Johnson was a guy that came out of the World Juniors with Team USA. People were saying he's too small and never going to make him in the NHL. And look at this. He had that great run in the playoffs when Stamkos was out. And You're going to see, again, I mean, the Tampa Bay Lightning have, you know, they have Radish, they have a couple of other guys. They have Mitchell Stevens from the Saginaw, and they have Anthony Cirelli from the Oshawa Generals, who is also going to have a good tournament, I think. He had a great Memorial Cup for the Oshawa Generals when they won it a couple of years ago. So you're going to see people give Tampa Bay a lot of love. So Leafs fans, don't feel bad, because I think the Leafs will have some reasons to cheer, but I think the Tampa Bay Lightning are going to be the highlight of this tournament when you look at Team Canada here. So moving on from Team Canada, we're going to kind of go into the nitty-gritty of why Jake's going to go into why he thinks Team Canada is not going to win, and that's because he's going to talk about the other teams. So Jake, if you're looking at other teams, let's do this first. What's your ranking of the teams going into this tournament?
In terms of talent?
Yeah.
That's tough. I think I would go, obviously, talent is Team Canada's number one in terms of just overall talent. I mean, you can look at the draft picks and how many first-round picks they have. But outside of that, I'd go Team Canada, Team USA, Team Russia, Team Sweden, and then roll down to maybe, I'm trying to think, maybe the Czechs.
Czechs aren't really looking good at this turn. They're saying the Czechs.
They got some players, but I mean,
they're gonna struggle.
You know, it's either them or you know. Oh, sorry, Finland, and then maybe the Czechs, then Switzerland, Slovakia, Denmark, and then Latvia. Latvia is probably last, even though I wish them well. They get our boy Martin Sturkles.
Yeah, and that's another guy who I think is gonna. I mean, he's kind of come on the scene too for the Leafs, so. When you're looking at the, I'm kind of glad that this year that U.S. and Canada are going to be back in the same group, just because they're going to have I think they're going to have an excellent New Year's Eve clash. I've always said this is probably my favorite thing about New Year's Eve, other than getting some lovely drinks in my system for midnight. But I think watching Team Canada, Team USA, I can't wait for it. I'm already having people over to watch it's going to be absolutely nuts. Is there a matchup that you really want going into this tournament, like a two teams you want to see go against each other, whether it's in the gold medal game or in the medal rounds or going into the or even the playoff games?
Yeah, I mean, I tend to always try and be picky and pick the best matchups, and for me, it has been and always will be Canada, Russia. I mean, you know, that's that for everyone that says, oh, Canada, USA is the big rival. I mean, no, look in international competition. It's always us and Russia. I mean, I feel like every time we lose in a final or a semifinal, it's to the Russians, and wherever we win, it's against the Russians. I mean, that's the team I want to play the most. I think it's likely, considering they're in the same bracket as us, so there's a potential that we can meet up in the final. And for me, that would be the best possible a matchup, as always, because Canada-Russia, you know, it doesn't need any more hype than that. It's the best rivalry in all of hockey. So,
I just remember that game in Buffalo when Canada was up, I think it was
3-0, and then blew it and lost 5-3.
And they lost 5-3. I just remember that because that was when Braden Shen absolutely went off. And then obviously
Evgeny Kuznetsov had the hat trick. Yeah,
jeez, that was probably one of the more disappointing losses I think for Team Canada, other than the losing in overtime to the U.S. when John Carlson scored.
You just gotta love the chippiness. I mean,
yeah,
they hate each other. They legitimately hate each other.
I love that they're the two teams that are gonna kick off on Box Day. Canada and Russia are gonna. This is one of two things is going to happen. This is going to be either a chippy game when it's going to be high scoring, or one team is going to. I think Canada will win the game. Canada always usually runs off in that first game, and then when it comes to the second matchup, I think the other team kind of gets the better of Canada.
And Canada, they tighten up a lot, huh?
And they tighten up a lot, and Canada gets too overconfident. Dylan Strome, this is why
they got to stop with the penalties. Literally every single year, like they get like 10 penalties a game.
I just remember last year, this is why.
And it's not even the reffing either. Yeah. They make it their duty to just help teams out, and it aggravates me.
Yeah, and I was aggravated. So last year I wasn't even in the country when the tournament was going on. I was on vacation, but I was keeping up with the tournament. I just remember, this is why I'm not a huge Dylan Strome fan anymore, is he went on to say that he wasn't scared of Finland, and he was really confident in what Canada was going to be able to do against them, and they lose, and they not only lose, they beat themselves up doing it too. So I think for Canada, what you're going to have to do is you're just going to have to don't play a confident hand. Realize that you're going to have to work hard, and that every team is going to want to beat you, which is true. This is an obvious statement, but that you're not going to go into this tournament overconfident just because you're on home ice and you feel like you have an advantage. Because when you go into a tournament like this, every team has something to prove, and they're gonna have to really watch how overconfident they can be.
I mean, when's the last time that Canada's gone into a World Junior and just completely dominated?
You could say
ever
maybe
since the Crosby lockout year when they went like that was oh what is it 06 or 05?
Well, okay, I think when they won back in Ottawa in 2009 when they had John Tavares, I think that was the last time that they were really dominant. Where they didn't lose. Obviously, they came close against Russia, where Russia almost beat them. But I think that was like the last time that we saw Canada absolutely run the table. Like nobody thought Canada was going to lose. I think so. Let's say since 2010, that's where
it
I
just
think.
Doesn't happen anymore.
It doesn't.
The other teams are just so good.
They've gotten so much better. It started with the U.S. with their goaltending. I remember Jack Campbell. Just absolutely, he came in relief and just stoned Canada. I mean, he did allow the two goals, but he also
was it Jack Campbell or was it John Gibson?
No, it was Jack Campbell. That was the one where Eberle scored the tying goal. Okay, that was also the year that Alex Pietrangelo was on the team. Taylor Hall was on the team. That was a tough year because I thought Canada had that game in the bag when they tied it up. They had terrible goaltending. Holy smokes! But I think Canada's got they've kind of understand they need better goaltending, having guys like Dustin Tokarski and bad name. I just, like when you look at goalies that used to play for Canada, like where are they anymore? You don't even know.
Exactly.
The biggest one, Justin Pogge, who everyone thought was the World Junior star, could have also been the fact that Canada was also so great. Such a great juggernaut, you didn't even need a goalie. Like, I could have been in net for Canada, and they probably would have won. I could go that far and say, like, those Team Canada teams are really good.
Okay.
But, I mean, this is... I'm really looking forward to this tournament. I mean, last year, it was a good tournament for Leafs fans just because the Leafs were not good. They were terrible last year, and they needed a break. And I thought they got a good break from the World Juniors other than the fact that Team Canada completely crapped the bed there. But I think you're going to start seeing Leaf fans pay a little more attention to this tournament when they have the prospects going there. I think,
which they have. I feel like in the past, the Leafs have never had 6, 5, 4 prospects going. They've usually had one, and it's never been. It's always been a bit player, a guy that's never expected to do much, just to go in and contribute. And I mean, they have legitimately 5 huge pieces in this tournament who are going to be really big pieces for their team. I mean, Bracco, I said he's going to lead the team in points. I mean, Kurotsalev, he's going to be counted on for offense for the Russians, who are going to be really good. Mm-hmm. Dirkles is the captain of Latvia. Grundstrom is the assistant captain for Sweden, and Joseph Wall might be the starting goalie. I mean, just think a couple years ago before Shanahan got here. I mean, it's like, hey, we're watching Freddy the Goat. It's like, okay, you're watching it just to like laugh because it's not like he's going to do anything in the tournament because that's not his game. He's a nice player and obviously he's a great guy. Everybody loves him, but I mean, he's just not a guy that you have to watch the tournament to go see. I mean, to be honest, I watch a lot of hockey, and guys who I haven't seen on a daily basis, I haven't seen any of these guys. I see bits and pieces of them, but this is why I love this tournament. You get to see the future of the NHL, and finally the Leafs have some of the future NHL stars, and it's not as high caliber as last year where you got to watch Matthews, Marner, Nylander, but you're still watching some pretty good prospects for the Leafs, and there's a lot to be excited about for this year and beyond.
Yeah. And so kind of in closing notes here, your pick to win the tournament.
It's tough. I think I can't pick, but if I had to, I would say Russia, just because they always find a way to get there. I'm pretty sure they've medaled like 6 years in a row or something. They just always find a way.
Yeah, and they also always find a way to break the hearts of Russian hockey fans too. Let's not forget
Canadian hockey fans.
Let too. I'm always wanting to be the home guy and pick Canada. So I mean, I'm going to give Canada a fighting chance here. But
I'm giving them a fighting chance. I just don't think they'll win the tournament.
I think if it's not them, it's going to be Sweden. I mean, Sweden just got Alex Nylander for the tournament. he's got something to prove after last year. And you also, there's also that the defenseman prospect we didn't even get a chance to talk to, but he's a 2018 draft eligible prospect that they're already saying is going to be better than Erik Karlsson.
He's going to go number one overall more than likely next year.
So if you're a Leafs fan and you're hoping for more tanking in the future,
that's the guy you tank for. I don't think we'll be that bad, but he's a really, really good player. He's a franchise defenseman for sure.
Yeah. So there we go. I want to thank you guys. And also, Jake, I thought I'd like to mention this. I had a family Christmas party with my dad's side of the family, because we all have a hard time getting together on Christmas Day. And I actually got a little note from my cousin's husband, who told us that his brother, Jordan, if you're listening, shout out to you, who's been apparently listened to all the podcasts and loves listening to us. I thought I'd give a little shout out there, give a little good note that we're actually maybe reaching out to some people, which is good. And on behalf of, I don't know if Chris is going to do another podcast before Christmas, but if not, on behalf of Tip of the Tower and everyone here, we want to wish you all a Merry Christmas.
A happy holidays and a happy new year.
And a happy new year. I think we got to make a new holiday for World Junior. It's like the World Junior holiday or something. Cause
boxing. Hey, nobody goes to work then.
Honestly,
so.
Why do we call it boxing? We should call it World Juniors Day or something. Because I think it's
got to be changed.
It has to be. So if you want to listen to us, please make sure you go on to iTunes or onto SoundCloud and subscribe to our pages. Check us out on Twitter at Tip of the Tower, on Facebook, Tip of the Tower. Check out tipofthetower.com for our latest pieces. Jake's going to have some good prospect stuff coming out. I got a really good, well, we'll see if it's a very good Austin Matthews piece coming out soon. So have a Merry Christmas, everyone. Be safe. Don't eat too much. If you do eat too much, make sure you burn it off skating on the skating rinks outside, and enjoy your new year.
Tavares pulls it out. Tavares backhand towards the goal. Loose puck. Everybody scores. Tie game. Can you believe it? In comes Tavares. Walks in. We score. Tavares again. Canada's back in it. Shot. It's won by Natlin. The point picks off the clearing attempt. Point drops it back. In comes Barnabas. And it's gone.